Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we're into 2016, right? Remember, we do not want to be a church that is a spectator church. We don't want to come in here and be a spectator church. I was reading an article about churches today, how many of them become spectator churches. People come in, they no longer worship God. When there's worship service, they don't get into it. They don't follow along. They don't sing. They don't even sing the songs because they become spectators. We don't want to do that. When you come into Crossfire Assembly, we want to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In fact, the one song, I didn't really care for the word famous personally in there. I like majestic. Famous, anybody can be famous. Not Jesus. He's majestic. He's different. He's totally no earthly words for how wonderful he is. But I tell you what, when you come in, people, I want to encourage you. Don't be spectators. Come in and feel free to worship God. When we're leading in worship, worship God. Get your arms up if you want, or sit down and pray if you want to, but get involved in something when you come to church, and just don't be spectators. Amen? Praise the Lord. I read got a thing in the mail again from another church the other day, and it said, if you're non-religious, come as you are. We'll accept you as you are. No. There are no non-religious people. There are sinners and non-sinners, the saved, the lost. We want to encourage people to come in that are lost without Jesus. It's just like in Missouri, Illinois, there was a lady who went around the barriers in the flood, and she almost drowned. She didn't listen to the warning signs. She wanted to go her own way. But you know something? I'm going to continue to preach the Word of God with God's help the best I can. And I'm not going to be politically correct within the church either today, afraid I'm going to offend anybody. Because I tell you what, people are lost, and they'll be lost for all eternity if we don't tell them the truth. I'm not going to tickle people's ears, your ears, anybody's ears in 2016 to make you feel good or hope you don't leave the church or whatever. I'm going to preach the truth of God's word. Amen. That's what it's about. It's God's word. And we're not going to have a bunch of silliness going on to get people to come in. It's like Reinhard Bonnke said, you had it in there too, Brian. How did it start out? Anyway, something about church growth, I'll just sum it up and say it this way. He was talking about churches. If you want to attract more people in without the Holy Ghost, you'll need more coffee and cake. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. God is going to build his church. We're living in serious times. 2016, we don't know what's going to happen. Jesus, I believe, is coming soon. The world is wrapping up. We're going to preach on prophecy in here. I'm going to preach on sin in here. I'm going to preach on the Holy Ghost in here. I'm going to preach on all the things, the blood of Jesus in 2016, should Jesus tarry. But we're not going to get off that track. I'm not moved, and I'm not going to sit there and look at all the gigantic churches, how big they're getting because of all the great programs and stuff they're doing. I'm going to preach the Word of God along with many, many thousands of other churches just like this one who are meeting in strip malls and meeting in homes and meeting in other places, but they're staying true to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. We need to, people. Eternity is forever, and we are responsible for what we tell people and what we preach from the pulpits too. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're here today, Lord. We're here. We worship you, the mighty God, our helper, our healer, our deliverer. And Father, we praise you, Lord, and I ask that your anointing be upon the balance of this service today, upon the people, upon the myself, Lord. Guide me as I speak your word, Lord. Move through me, Lord. Help me to say things that people can understand your word and be challenged and convicted or whatever you decide you want done in this service, Father. And we praise you and thank you. And Lord, I also ask, Father, and I thank you and I praise you that you fill the empty chairs here with lost people that don't know Jesus, that need to come in and hear the gospel. Lord, let this be a year that we'll see the lost walking off the streets that are driving by on Coon Rapids Boulevard, that we meet on the streets, that we meet in our neighborhoods, that we invite them into a church that we know that they're going to be told the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And Father, we commit this time to you right now, and I ask that the Holy Spirit again will move upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Starting a new year. How many start a new year? Well, you're here, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at the testimony of the Apostle Paul to hone in on something specific that should be helpful to us as we look forward into a new year. And notice again in verse 8, Philippians, Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Amen. I like that. I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Have you made any New Year's resolutions this year? Is anybody in here? If you do, there's plenty of people out there doing them. I've read some of them already on Facebook, too. There's people making New Year's resolutions out there. Researchers have found that about one-third of Americans make resolutions each new year. It's human nature, isn't it? It's human nature when we pass some significant milestone, like a new year, to pause and evaluate how we are doing with our life. The areas people most often resolve to change are fairly consistent. To lose weight. That's a big one, isn't it? You can go by Lifetime Fitness anywhere in the cities. Last night I was going down 610 and Lifetime Fitness down there. The lot was packed. It was packed. Exercise, getting out of debt, spend more time with family, quit some bad habit like smoking or drinking or gambling, things like that. And without fail, the number of folks joining Weight Watchers and gym, they skyrocket in January. They skyrocket. It's human nature to want to do better, though, isn't it? We want to do better. It's also human nature to fail. Most resolutions last about 3 days to 3 weeks. And certainly by February, we are right back in the old ruts we had promised ourselves we'd get out of. Boy, that's the truth. I've experienced and done those. It doesn't take long for realities to snuff out what little bit of willpower and enthusiasm we might have. Research has found that less than 10% of us succeed in our resolutions. It's pretty low, isn't it? Why is it so hard to change? Because people often set unrealistic goals in their life. You know, like if, for instance, instead of setting a goal to lose 10 pounds, they'll set a goal to lose, this year I'm going to lose 100 pounds. Bad way to do it. I know in my life, if I want to do something like that, I would do it this way. Okay, this week, I'm going to lose 1 pound. And at the end of the week, I lost that 1 pound. I said, well, that's pretty easy. I think next week I might try for 2. But you keep it realistic, right? Then it's not so way out of realm. Or they make too many resolutions at once, like eating right. They're going to quit smoking. They're going to read their Bibles every day, spend time in prayer. all the very wonderful things, but two or three days into it, they are overwhelmed by the number of changes they want to make in their life, and so they give up on them right away. Too much. We often fail because we underestimate how difficult it is to change. And some fail in their resolutions because they lack the commitment necessary to follow through. And that's the sad part, too, going into 2016. You don't know how many times I talk to people on phone that should be sitting in here today. That say they're coming to church on Sunday. How many times I've heard that and they don't show up? Commitment. Commitment. They've developed a pattern of quitting whenever they experience difficulty, and so they have grown to accept and even accept failure. And all this has led many people to reject New Year's resolutions altogether. The thinking goes, why attempt something that is doomed to fail? That's why some of us don't do resolutions anymore. We failed so many times at it, or we just never follow through. So we quit. To some, resolutions making a waste of time because it leaves them feeling worse about themselves. And it does in some cases. And I understand the fear of failure, but at the same time, all of us have areas in our lives that we need improvement. All of us have something we should do better. And January has been considered the perfect time this month to make changes in our lives. The month called January because the Romans named it after their god Janus, the god of beginning and ending, and it's depicted as two faces, one looking back at the old year with regret and the other face looking forward to new year with hope. The Romans understood that in the start of the new year that we can't help but be hopeful of an improvement. And maybe you look back at 2015 with sadness. There's a lot of things that happened in our lives this past year. Some of us lost loved ones. A lot of things have happened, terrible things. Some have lost jobs, got sick, whatever. And we can look back with sadness in it. And maybe you see failure in the old year. And so now looking into 2016, you have a desire to do something differently in your life. I know I was reading about a well-known preacher that he's got a new book out that he's writing that let 2016 be your best year. Let 2016 be your best year. Well, I tell you what, the only one that knows what my year is going to be like is the Lord himself, to be real honest, and it's free. I read it in here. Doesn't cost me anything. I don't have to buy that book. But today, I want to show you from God's Word in Philippians how we can get a fresh start in a new year. And there's three things that you need to do according to Paul. First, if you want to start a new start, then you must forget the things which are behind. Did you hear that? It says in verse 13, which I read earlier, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." We cannot keep looking backward all the time, reaching into the back. See, if you hope to change, there's some things in the past that you need to forget, amen? Amen. There's too many people hold on to things that happened in their past and even use them for excuses not to go forward, and they'll do that. You need to forget about your failures and your sins. You need to confess them before God, and then you need to move on, amen? You don't lay on the floor with your thumb in the mouth and kicking your feet and screaming and sucking on. You get up, you brush yourself off, you ask God to forgive, and then you go forward. Amen. That's what you do. God has promised forgiveness to us. And if you want to have done it, your sin is under the blood. Christ has forgiven you. Don't be obsessed with it. Don't keep bringing it up. Forget it. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll purify us when we come before him and ask for forgiveness of our sins. Paul in Romans 8:1, speaking of life through the Spirit, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're living in sin, you're going to live in condemnation if you're not walking in the Spirit. If you're living your life contrary to what God wants you to live it, you're going to live in condemnation. If it's not under the blood, it's not forgiven. And God told Peter in Acts chapter 10, verse 15, "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not common." You see, the cleansing work of Christ on the cross applied not only the forgiveness of sin there, is speaking of animals also, the clean and the unclean. And then we go on to the psalm, Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3 of David. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, in all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases." Praise the Lord. Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That's the limitless scope of God's grace. Isn't that awesome? If you've sinned in 2015 and you ask for forgiveness, don't let the devil keep beating you over the head with it. Forget it and go forward. It's under the blood if you've asked for forgiveness. I'm not attempting to diminish the awfulness of sin. I want you to know that. But I'm here to remind you, according to God's word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." See, that's the miracle of regeneration, by being born again of the Holy Spirit. Churches don't like to mention that born again word, but that's what God is talking about, being born again. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I love that. I love that. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Don't let past failures define who you are, people. Don't let them do that. When Paul looked back, he saw a lot of things that he was ashamed of when we read the scriptures. How he had blasphemed the name of Jesus, persecuted the church, opposed the gospel. But he was no longer that man. He had been forgiven. He refused to allow his past failures and sins to define who he was. And see, sometimes people will hold on to their failures and their shortcomings, and they'll hold on to those for excuses not to do, not to go forward. And we can't do that. God no longer saw Paul that way, and neither does he see you that way if you are born again. If you're born again. Sometimes it's good to look back to remind ourselves of greatness of God's grace. It keeps us humble and it makes us thankful. But to dwell on the past is dooming you to repeat it. And I know people like that, brothers and sisters in Christ, who that's all they look at is the past, how their failures happen, and they get themselves down in the molly grubs and they can't get out of it anymore. They hold on to it and they use that as an excuse for not going forward. Someone said we need to look at the difference between the windshield and the rear view mirror. There's truth in that. The rear view mirror is much smaller because it is designed for us to briefly glance at it, not stare at it, but to glance at it. Safe driving requires you to focus on what's in front of you, not what's going on behind you. Amen? And the same can be said of life. If you want to succeed, you've got to let go of the past. 2016 is here. God has given us another opportunity to grow in Him. Past failures are not all we need to forget. We need to forget past successes too. Did you know that? God bless us with this church. Who'd ever dreamt? God bless us with a beautiful property. Almost 4 acres. We're here, but I can't dwell and I can't be settled right here. I'm believing God for something great this year. I want to see the Lord move in a supernatural way in your life, in my life, within this church. I want to see people get born again and radically saved, but I don't want to do programs and all this the junk stuff. I want to see us get born again and saved, go out into our communities, lay hands on the sick and watch them be healed, raise the dead if necessary, and see people delivered. That's what we need to be doing as the church. If you want to do community, open your mouth and preach the gospel. Doing community does nothing for anybody if Jesus is not the central part of it. And if you don't share the gospel with people, what good is it? You got to let them know why you're saved, why you are excited about the things of God. And that's what we need to do in 2016. We need to be radical. We need to stand up and be bold in the days that we live. We're living in serious times. Christians will be under attack. I believe this year, persecution, as with Franklin Graham, is going to get worse and worse. And we're going to see what's going to happen within churches when it gets real serious. We're going to see what is going to happen. Who is really 100% sold out and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read of Paul, it says in this chapter, he tells us about all the things he left behind. How he would not allow his previous successes to prevent him from being all that God wanted him to be now. Past victories can lead us to be satisfied, nostalgic, and virtually useless. There are Christians who are virtually useless in the work today because all they think about is what they did yesterday. What they did yesterday. How they used to do this and how they used to do that. I even had to be careful myself, even being on the mission field in Russia several times. It was easy for me to always talk about what happened there. But see, I'm more interested. I want to see what God wants to do, how he can use me to go forward. That's back there. God accomplished what he wanted to accomplish through my life, through other lives. But now I need to go forward, should Jesus tarry. And let God use my life. I tell you what, people, you won't sit in your seats if you see God supernaturally begin to use you in a way you never dreamt possible. Guarantee it. If you've never experienced to see God supernaturally work right before your eyes or within your life, in somebody else's life or in circumstances, I tell you what, you'll get excited. And that's what we need to do. We need to find out through the Word of God how God wants to use us in 2016. Because God's an exciting God. He's a creator God. He's always pursuing. He's always pursuing the lost, those that don't know Jesus. He wants to make sure no one goes into an eternal hell. See, dead churches have the tendency of sitting on former accomplishments. Self-satisfied, without desire, burden for the work of the Lord today. And I pray that's not us in 2016. I don't care what it is. If you know there's something you can do and God can give you the strength and the ability to do it, do it. Amen? I won't get scared if it gets noisy in here. See, we ought to learn from our past and not yearn for it. Amen? And then secondly, not only should you forget those things behind you, focus on the things before you. Focus on them. It says in Philippians 3:13, brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. See, Paul is alluding the Olympic athlete who races in a competition with others for prizes. And he runs with all of his might. He runs with all of his might. And he approaches the finish line. He stretches or leans forward at the last possible second in order to be the first to cross. Do we do that for Jesus? Are we giving him our best? At the moment, he's not thinking, Paul speaking of, about past successes or failures. His entire focus is on winning the race at hand. What's in the past is the past. Only going forward, you've got to focus on. Two things need to be remembered here. First, the race demands my whole self, everything I am, everything I have, being single-minded with determination to serving the Lord right now. It takes everything. What are you doing right now? You can ask yourself that. As a Christian, I ought to be our passion to serve the Lord with excellence. With excellence. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. If your heart's beating in here today and you're alive, God can use you. And whatever it is, no matter how small you think it is, do it with all your might. Do it with passion. Do it with enthusiasm, excitement. The world needs to see that we love Jesus as much as they love sin. And that's the truth. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That's why people get discouraged sometimes, because they're trying to impress man. And they lose their desire, their ability, because when the thank you isn't there, the pat on the head, or saying, what a great job, or you don't bring them up in the front of the church, look what they did. They get discouraged and say, what's the use? Nobody cares what I do anyway. You're doing it for the wrong reason. I'm doing it for the wrong reason. I ask God always to help me, and I'm doing it for him. If I'm doing something for somebody, I'm doing it for them. And I tell people, I helped a guy in Rochester, Minnesota one time. Just as an example, he needed his car. He was sitting out in a parking lot, and his battery is dead. I drove up. I had a set of cables in my vehicle, and I walked up there, and he thanked me and said what a great guy I was. And I said, well, it isn't because I'm a great guy. It's because of what Jesus did in my life. I gave the Holy Ghost him an opportunity to start to touch that man's life instead of just me being a great guy. God is a great God. And he changed me from what I was. And he's not done yet, people. If you're saying, boy, pastor, you got a long way to go, I'm sitting there saying, amen, hallelujah. Because he knows, and I won't stop growing till the grave or Jesus comes back. So, you know, don't criticize me. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Because you're not perfect either, none of you. There's not one person in here that's perfect. You all got work that needs done. That clay needs to be molded and scalped, and we need to get some chips gone off the shoulders. We all got some work to do, don't we? See, God does not expect more than we can do. Did you hear that? But he does require that we do whatever we can do heartily as unto the Lord. And that we do it with all of our might. We ought never be satisfied with less than our very best when it comes to serving the Lord. If you are a teacher, then you ought to strive to be the best teacher there is. If you're in the nursery worker, and we've got some down there, and I don't know if they can hear, but they ought to be the best nursery workers we have. If you're a prayer warrior, you need to be the best prayer warrior there is. And if you're a custodian in the church, or anywhere on your job, or whatever you do on your jobs, you need to be the best one at it. If you're an encourager, you need to be the best encourager there is. And if you're a helper, help. Be the best helper anybody could ever depend on. If you say you're going to do something, then do it. Don't back away from it. Amen? Let 2016 be a year that when you tell somebody something, your word is your word, because you're doing it before Almighty God. And if you say you're going to do something, you need to follow through and do it and not let the weather change your mind or some silliness. It's really sad that when people put the things of God second place to what they want to do in their life. And then when they're on their deathbed, they look back. We need to do it now while we're able to. I'm just doing some meddling stuff here today. Is that okay? It's the first sermon for 2016, and I want to make it count. I told you, you're either going to be mad at me or glad at me. Don't be one of those who skirts by on a little preparation or as little effort as possible. Give yourself to the thing like an athlete prepares for a competition. That's what we need to do. Secondly, keep the goal in sight. What is the goal? Paul explains it here in verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark. I press toward it. You know what that word mark is in the Greek? It's watch. It means watch. Paul was watching. Paul was watching. And it says, for the prize. I believe that is the crown of righteousness that he's talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The crown of righteousness. I press for the mark. I watch for that mark, that prize. of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I heard one pastor say that that could be the rapture. I don't know. But that's what Paul was doing. I like those words. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize. I want the prize. See, the person who trains for an athletic competition doesn't sacrifice and spend all those hours because he wants to become in second place. You know something? How many want to go to heaven? Some of you don't? Well, I tell you what, I do, and I want to be up front when I get there. See, we need to be in Bible reading and praying and fellowship and serving the Lord. We need to be giving God our best. Not so that we're earning anything to get to heaven, because we represent Him and we want our lives to count for something upon this earth, that when we stand before Him, we can stand before Him and God can say, well done, good and faithful servant. See, His goal is to win. In the Olympics, the three-tiered platform is ever on the athlete's mind. He wants to be called up to stand above his peers as the judge places the crown on his head. That's what they want to do. That was Paul's goal to the high calling. He knew that one day he would stand before the judge of this universe, and he wanted to hear him say that. Again, Matthew 25:23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I tell you what, I need some joy. I want some joy. There's some of you in here that need joy this morning. You need to walk in joy. There's some of you that've been battling depression, oppression. Your family members have. You need to begin to walk in the joy of the Lord. And God is that joy, Nehemiah 8:10, right? Yes. The joy of the Lord is our strength. See, it was not the applause of men, but the approval of God he desired. And that's the sad thing today. There's too many famous men, women out there today that are taking all the praise and all the glory that man will give them. But Paul wasn't like that. Paul wasn't like that. Paul said, I am the least of the apostles and am unworthy to be called an apostle. But he didn't dwell on it. But that's where he was. His heart was humble. In light of all that Jesus had done for him, he wanted to give his very best to the Lord. And I think about what God has done in my life and what God has done in your life, and he's given us his best. And we should always want to do that. Why do we make the things of God second place? In 2016, we should be on fire for God. We should be motivated to want to do our best. This could be our last year up on planet Earth. Some of us sitting in here may not make it all the way to 2016. We don't know. But I want to give God my best this year. Maybe my last opportunity. We need to look at this year and say, God, the way things are going in the world, I need to really gear up. I need to really get serious about things. And I'm going to be committed to doing what needs to be done for your kingdom. Even if it's picking that little speck off the carpet, I'll pick it up. Because this is where we come to worship you, the mighty God. See, I've heard of well-meaning Christians say, I don't care anything about rewards. As long as I make it to heaven, that's good enough for me. And what kind of a life does that type of Christian live? They don't realize what they're saying. They really don't. Serving the Lord with all our might is the greatest way we have of worshiping Him. Did you know that? People are watching us everywhere. We don't do it for people to watch us, but there are people watching us. All the crowns we receive in heaven, we'll cast at His feet as an offering of praise. I want as many rewards as I can get. I want to take those crowns and cast them before the mighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Casting all our offering of praise for all that Jesus means to us, as if to say, I would never have accomplished anything without you, Jesus. As I, for one, I don't want to stand before the Lord one day empty-handed and say, Lord, I made it to heaven. I have nothing to offer. I have no crowns. I don't want to do that. We shouldn't be satisfied just to get to heaven. We say, Lord, I want to serve you, and I want the whole world to know that I love you, and I'm going to serve you and be the best I can with your help. And when I fail, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to dust myself off and trust you for your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace. And I'm going to go forward this year in 2016. It's exciting. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm excited what God can do through my life and your life. So, dear friend, as we stand on the brink of this new year right now, what can I do this year that will help me bring glory and honor to the Lord? You ask yourself that. And then finally, not only should we forget those things that are behind and focus on things that are before, thirdly, we should fulfill those things that are beyond us. It says in verse 12 of Philippians 3, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may obtain. That means seize or possess or obtain. For that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And in commenting on this passage, a gentleman, M.R. DeHaan, said, self-satisfaction is the death of progress. Dissatisfaction with past accomplishments is the mother of invention. Pity the man who is content with his own progress and feels he has arrived. This is all the more true in the Christian life. Nothing is as deadly as self-satisfaction in our life. The most boring people can be those who take up time by telling us what they've done when they ought to be doing something now. And no one would have found fault with Paul had he reached that place in life himself, would they? See, you know, I think I'm going to retire. I've worked hard. I served the Lord faithfully all these years. I put myself out there. It's time to do a little something for me. Whew. People, if you're in here and you're retired or you're going to retire, God doesn't retire you. He doesn't retire you, ever. See, but he didn't say that. Instead, he said, listen, Paul said, I haven't attained what I want to attain. I have not reached the place I want to be. I'm not finished yet. Paul would not be satisfied until he took his last breath giving his all to Jesus. Paul did a work that was beyond him, working by day and preaching by night. Boy, I can relate to that. Now, don't sit out there now and say, boy, you compared yourself to Paul. Don't sit out there and say something stupid like that, because that isn't what I said. I said, I can relate to that. Working a day job and in preaching the gospel. I can understand that to a point. He suffered just about every hardship a man could endure. Starvation, rejection, controversy. He was stoned, beaten, and left for dead, and demands many and rewards few. In his life, the average man would have folded under that weight of obligation. But Paul was empowered by God to do a work that was beyond him, establishing churches all over the Middle East and portions of Europe and Asia. That was the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit working through a man. And he can do the same for you and I. When we say, I'm too weak, I just don't have the strength. Yes, you do. When God empowers you and I through the power of his Holy Spirit, we can accomplish things beyond what we thought we would be able to do. How many times have you done something in your life said, boy, I didn't think I could ever do that. I didn't think I could ever get that done. I didn't think that would ever happen. But see, God sometimes, through his Holy Spirit power, we as Christians look to him to help us to go beyond. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Sold out, utterly committed, Paul was. And listen, friend, the Christian life is beyond us. Did you know that? It's beyond us. Serving the Lord with perseverance and power is beyond us. As we look at the call of God upon our church to reach souls for Christ, to help family and friends and find the life and love of Christ, to change lives and eternal destinies, that work is beyond us. That's something we need God's help with every day, don't we? Because we falter, we trip up, we don't do, we lose our enthusiasm, we're leaky vessels. It's a work continually. We need God to help us to go beyond, to touch our families. We get weary. We get tired of well-doing. Our loved ones are lost. We have family and friends that are lost. We need to have the power of God daily in our life to walk through the whole year 2016 to maintain the Christian walk that He wants us to walk. And we get that through the Holy Spirit empowering us. See, but God is able to do great things to those who are not satisfied. If you're satisfied, it's hard for God to do a work in you. But if you're not, He'll do more work. He's able to achieve great things through ordinary people completely surrendered to His will. And looking back, we are certainly thankful for all the Lord has done here in this place. And you can say in your life, and I can say in my life. But folks, I refuse to focus on that. I believe God is going to take us places we've not been yet. I don't know where that's going to be. But I'm looking at a supernatural God. I'm not looking to man. I'm not looking to man's ways, man's ideas, man's entertainment, nothing else. I live for a supernatural God that's got a plan for Crossfire Assembly, that's got a plan for each one of your lives if you look to Him. And He will fulfill what He wants done in our life. For He is the author and finisher of our faith. God is able to keep great things through those who are not satisfied. He is well able to do exceedingly above all that we would ask or think, isn't He? God can do that. Will you embrace the challenge of a work that is beyond 2016? There may be things that are going to come up that we need, we will have to be part of and be committed to, helping with. And it may take us beyond what we're able to do. That's when we say, Lord, please help us. Please help me. Give me the ability. Give me the strength. Give me the words. Help me to do what's got to be done, Lord. I don't even feel like it. I don't even really want to do it. But Lord, I love You and I know it's for Your glory and it's for Your kingdom. And help me to do it, to go beyond my feelings, to go beyond my desire and help me to do what You want done in my life. That's what we should want for 2016. Will you give more of yourself this year than in the past? The Lord can do mighty things through a people unwilling to settle for less. And do you need a fresh start? Three things you need to do. Forget the things that are behind you. Focus on the things that are before you and fulfill the things that are beyond you. That's what we need to do. Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'll finish with this verse, Philippians 3, 13, 14. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're in a brand new year and God's on the move. He's doing spectacular things throughout the world right now. Overseas, there's things supernaturally happening. God's calling the nations of the world together. He's making preparation. Our King of Kings is coming back. Our Lord and Savior is coming back. And Lord, we come before You as a congregation right now. And Father, we look to You, the mighty God, the supernatural God. And Father, in our hearts and our lives, we commit our lives totally to You. How many would raise your hand with me and say, Lord, with Your help, I want to be the best I've ever been in 2016 and to give You more, if possible, beyond myself this year. And Lord, I want You to move supernaturally in my home. I want You to move in my life. I want You to do things through my life that can touch others for Jesus, that can build the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that's represented here this morning that You would do a supernatural work. And Lord, help us to be ever thoughtful of those around us who don't know Jesus. For God said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, separation from a holy God. If there's anybody in here this morning, and or maybe you've been a Christian, you need to recommit your life to Jesus, I would call and invite you to come up here with me. Lord, we come before you, and I would ask also, Lord, that I would rebuke in Jesus' name the spirit of discouragement from anybody that's in here this morning. Help them to get their eyes off their circumstances, on the past, and to put it totally on you. Lord, help me not to put my focus on any person, because they will discourage me one time in my life or more times. But help me to love people. Help me to love them so much that I'm willing to serve you in a greater capacity, that I will give my life for them if I need to, Lord. And Father, I pray that for everyone in here, Lord, that this be a church, Lord, that will be on fire for the Lord, that 2016 will be a year that Crossfire will be used in a supernatural way within this neighborhood, this community. I'm not talking about numbers, God. Because, Lord, you said wide is the gate and many there that go in, and narrow is the gate and few that go. So, Lord, I'm not looking at we need a great big old church to do great mighty things. No, we need a few people on fire for you, full of the Holy Ghost, that can turn the world upside down. Help us to see things through your eyes, Father. And we praise you, we glorify you, and we thank you. And now, Lord, I pray that you touch each household, that you bless the people, Lord, meet their financial, their spiritual, their physical, their emotional, mental needs this day, this week, this month, should Jesus tarry this year, Father. And Lord, do a work in each one of us, Father, and help us to become more like Jesus. And we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Get excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. Have some good fellowship. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Tell somebody, I'm excited about Jesus.
I'm excited about Jesus.
Praise the Lord.